Everybody's mic's on? Yep. Jeff, your mic's off. Okay. We'll call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. It is 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call, Marie?
Director White?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
President Guerrero?
I'm here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
And Director Angelo?
Here.
People join me for the flags.
Yeah.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. On the consent calendar, it's listed as number 4. I don't think we have anything for the consent calendar because we do have a consent agenda, which is number 8. So we'll move on to, unless somebody disagrees, I'll move on to number 5, which is public comment on matters not on the agenda. All right. Good evening, Ms. Tacker. Marie? Thanks.
Good evening. Happy New Year. I am Julie Tacker. And for items not on the agenda, I feel like I'm missing on the agenda are some of the things you visited in the past that were supposed to come back, and that more things are not coming back, and your agenda is getting shorter and you're doing less. And there's a lot of work to be done in this district. One of the items, December 11th, was something called committee redirection. And at the last minute, something called a staff report was handed to you all, and it looked vaguely familiar to me, and I hope you still have your copies at home, but I'm providing a copy for each of you of a, and if you'll pass those out, Marie, I'd appreciate it, a page off of a website for the San Diego County Water Authority that literally mirrors this staff report. It's exactly the same, but for a few slight changes. Interestingly, some of those same items are on this agenda tonight, including their phone number. So if a person needing ADA assistance reads your agenda tonight, go to the very last sentence, and it gives you a San Diego County Water Authority telephone number to call for help. I'm speechless. On to some other things that I don't see that needed to come back. A calendar for 2014, adopting your board meetings, the dates of them all, the dates that you're not going to meet due to holidays, or a lot of agencies take the whole month of July off, or a good, or at least one meeting off. That was supposed to come back. It didn't come back. You did have a discussion about holidays to recognize in 2014 and a policy related to that. The 6-minute. And if you'll allow me, President Guerrero, the six-minute...
Please, if you wrap it up briefly.
Yeah, the six-minute requirement is no longer on this agenda, and I'm hoping that is something I liked, and I hope to come back and talk some more about the minutes and some other things later on.
Thank you, ma'am.
You. And Mary Lucy, especially shame on you for leading the charge. Do you remember how you stuck by Tom Geeslin, the predecessor GM, for over a year after we all knew he was a bad apple? Do you remember, Director Lucy? And do you remember how he was your loose cannon, but he was your loose cannon? Collateral damage mounted. You're still incurring collateral damage from Mr. Geeslin. And I respectfully submit to your board that if you continue the employ of Mr. Curtis, you will be incurring additional collateral damage. The agenda, wow. I thought the December 11th, 2013 agenda was in shambles. This one is not any better. It's clear Mr. Curtis does not have the skill set to be a general manager of a community services district. Heck, this guy still hasn't produced a writing sample. 3 months. No writing sample. He's a bad fit for the district. Unfortunately, the contract doesn't contain a 90-day probation period. This is exactly why you have a 90-day probation period. For instances like this, simply part company with this gentleman. Work it out. Amicable departure. You need to move on. Collateral damage is mounting. Finally, the money. Geesland money. $126,000 annually. $500 a day. Your citizens, your ratepayers don't make $500 in a week. I've told you that before. It's the truth. And yet you sit there supporting this gentleman. It defies logic. Shame on you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening?
No, but I'd like a definition of leading the charge.
Mr. President, would you allow me?
No, I'd rather not get into a dialogue.
Go into detail on that for your...
No, thank you. I think one of the things that this agenda is missing is adopting the agenda. I will move item number 6, which is public comment on agenda items, over to after item number 10 before 11, which is
the district for the labor negotiations, and okay. I failed to get her on there.
Okay, so we'll add VP Lucy under item B, 13B?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, with that amendment, I second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we'll move on to now what is special presentations, none. The consent agenda, review and approval of minutes, November 13th, 22nd, 11, regular and special, and December 23rd, 5 meetings. I've got November 13th, I've got November 22nd, the 11th.
Point of order.
Both for the 11th. No, I'm looking for the 23rd.
Point of order, President Guerrero.
Hold on a second. December 23rd, I do have... Yes, ma'am?
I think the public should be able to speak to any of the minutes. And I don't know if you're going to open that. I hope you do.
I don't intend to, ma'am.
Well, I think that you don't have a limit... You don't have a limit on how many times a speaker can speak. And this is the opportunity for the public to participate in the minutes.
Do we have a 6-minute
limit? Not anymore.
We have 3 minutes for public comment on matters not on the agenda and 3 minutes for public comment on agenda items. Jeff?
On each agenda item is...
Mr. Minery, what would you...
Mr. President, do you have discretion as far as how you'd like to handle public comment, as long as the public does have an opportunity to comment on items that are on the agenda and not on the agenda?
I think we should maintain our practice that has been up to this time, and I think we already took public comment. So,
are we going to items on the agenda?
The consent.
Right now, we're on the consent agenda.
Okay.
I'd like to speak to the consent agenda. Yes, I can.
Ms. Mary, I need clarification. My understanding is on consent agenda items that you do not speak to the issue, that they're moved by consent.
They are moved by consent.
And if they are needed to be spoke to, then they're...
Thank you for the comments, Ms. Tacker. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any comments on that, or is there a motion on the consent agenda?
Yes, I move that we accept the minutes for November 13th.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say, oh, just November 13th?
No, I was actually going to include them all.
Okay.
Okay. I move that we accept the minutes for November 13th, November 22nd, December 11th, and December 23rd.
You weren't here for one of them.
That's right. I wasn't. I wasn't here for the 11th. So I withdraw the 11th.
Okay.
Then I can't make, I shouldn't make the motion because I wasn't here for the 11th.
All right. So,
yeah.
So I'll just withdraw mine.
Okay. Is there a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we approve consent agenda November 13th, 2013, November 22nd, 2013, December 11th, regular meeting, December 11th, special meeting, and December 23rd, 2013, special meeting.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 I'm going to abstain because I wasn't here for the 11th meeting.
All right, we have motion carries by a vote of four and with one abstention. Vice President Lucy abstaining. We'll move on to item B, which is cash disbursements. And we have a, for the record, we do have a modified cash disbursements that were presented today. It's called the January 8th, 2014 updated. Is there any comment, Jocelyn?
Yes, there is one check that I was miscoded. I coded a check to President Guerrero to office expense. It should have been coded to 225 board stipends, and I've already made the adjustments in our system.
Right. With that, is there a motion?
I so move.
All right, all in favor say aye. Oh, excuse me, I need a second. Is there a second on that?
Second.
All right, we have a second by Vice President Lucy.
Who's,
all in favor say aye.
Who seconded that?
Aye.
Thank
Lucy.
You, Mary.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I didn't catch if you voted or not.
Yeah.
Okay. I have motion carries 5-0. We'll move on to the report, Sheriff South Station. I don't see the commander here. We'll move on to the Five Cities Fire Authority. Fire Chief Heath this time. Good evening, Mr. Heath.
Forge facilities. And that's all I have right now.
What was the one this morning? Were you able to find out?
That was the warming fire.
That was the warming fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Where was that?
It's right on Front Street by the railroad tracks.
Yeah, I wasn't dispatched to it. It was a single engine response. So
Front Street by the railroad tracks.
By the railroad tracks over by the railroad crossing.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well,
that's it.
All right, thank you.
You.
Anybody have
thank
any
you.
Questions for Chief Heath? All right.
Are we going to talk about at some point where the Five Cities Fire Authority is and what your board plans are?
Mike, please.
Mike.
And what your board plans are and things?
I can give a report on that tonight.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Chief. We'll move on to item number 9C, OCSD Operations. General Manager Lonnie Curtis. Good evening, sir.
And your mic's off there,
Lonnie. Thank you, President Guerrero. Tonight, I'd like to introduce our water operations superintendent, manager, supervisor, Tony. Why don't you step up to the podium? A lot of times our employees are doing and are in a lot of activity, as you read in your Friday report. Tony is the headliner, if you will. He's the master, you know, chief cook and bottle washer, if you will, for those operations, and I thought I would introduce Tony formally to the board and let him say a couple of words if you'd like, and any questions you have for him.
Please, Tony, good evening.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. John Maragino. Currently been working on a lot of exercising valves, doing a lot of preventive maintenance, getting air vacs in line, getting those ordered. A lot of meter changeouts. Been working with Jocelyn on Performa. Giving her a lot of information on the, we started on the tanks. Now we've worked on giving her information on all the mains, water lines. We have over 20 miles of water mains. That includes all the dates, what type of material it is, what it'll cost to replace these as they age, when they'll be replaced. Currently have one USO getting this Class A due to the trailer requires a Class A. And have a new employee, been training him for the last month or so. It's just sitting down, it's time behind the computer.
Are you identifying things that haven't been done that need to be done that you're able to document so that we can put those into our maintenance schedule?
Oh, absolutely. Preventive maintenance, we've already completed that in flushing. That hasn't been done or documented for quite a few years. The valve turning hasn't been documented or done for a while. As we do that, we'll be able to do directional flushing, which the system needs, as you've experienced.
Yes.
With the sedimentation. Directional deaded flushing has improved our system right there. I mean, we've put probably about 80,000 gallons on the ground, but that is a necessity that you have to do to keep your system operating at a good system operating. Air vats.
What is that? I don't know what the
air vat is designed to release air if it gets into the system,
okay.
So it does not go into the consumers, the homes. Residents, it's basically, it releases air and then it'll close as the water goes up. Air's in there, it'll drop with air out.
Because air can compress and make a hammer.
No, air vats are just designed to release air if it gets into the system.
But if you don't have it, it can compress and create breakage.
Oh, absolutely. Right? You can get air into the system, it'll get into the consumer. Dishwashers, it can affect those, it can affect washing machines. Anything that uses water, ice makers, it can do damage to fuel zones.
Okay. Did we have air vacs in place before, or are they just getting
maintained? Well, we do.
Okay.
But preventive maintenance, that's a yearly preventive maintenance item to go around and check and ensure they're properly functioning. Meters, I've worked on with Jocelyn about meters. We have a big meter that needs to be replaced this year. And I've talked to her about that. There will be in this fiscal year's budget, I want to say 2014.
Well, we did the one over at the trailer park, and what was the increase in the read for that 6-inch meter that was put in?
The meter alone, off the top of my head, $68,000 meter, and it'll pay for itself in 8 months. I think we calculated it roughly.
Because the old meter was reading low, and so this reader reading correctly.
So 6 to 8 months use. It'll pay for itself. So it'll make that $68,000 up. And then after that, it's profit. After that, since August. And that's a running total for the year. And then I'll give you a complete year of what we bring in, what we pump, and what we had to put on the ground,
right,
as I say. And then we can get a calculation to get a water lossage that the system is losing. I can give you an accurate.
Sure.
Once I keep track of everything for a year.
I think it's something that's interesting, and Mr. Curtis and I were talking about that, and what are the acceptable limits and such, and so I'll
absolutely
look forward to report on that at some point.
And we've had the meetings with a meter company to become more state-of-the-art.
Okay.
Seeing what's out there, and I'll present basically a report. I'll give it to Lonnie here shortly, as soon as I get it from the distributor, on what's out there. There's equipment out there that can actually sound valves and notify us if it has a leak.
Wow.
And I'm looking into that right now. You just put them on two different valves, two different locations, and it'll let you know on the lower usage if there's a leak. It'll give you a report back once you leave bed throughout the night. That's my understanding.
Impressive.
So as soon as I find out more information about that, if it's something we can use, I'd definitely like to get it. And then we can isolate valve or isolate mains and see if they have leaks.
Okay.
It's a leak protection system. It's new to me. I'm looking into it.
We're all learning.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't mean to monopolize Mr. Maricino's time. Does anybody else have any questions for him? But I do have one follow-up, final question before you.
Go ahead.
So one time you and I went and cleaned the lift station. That was very memorable. Do you still gag?
Absolutely. That's stuff I do. I'm more than happy to bring you guys up there.
Right.
As you know, you get hands on.
Yes, very much so. And I do look forward to doing it again. So.
Yes, sir.
I've got some Fridays. I'll go out there in the field again.
Absolutely.
Mission on our water line plug.
occurred to them?
That was, I've had multiple, okay. I had a sewer main in front of the Elks. I don't remember the exact date.
21st.
It was right before New Year's.
Yeah.
We had a sewer main get clogged in front of the Elks. The reason we have problems with sewer is we need to prevent a maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us...
jetting, for example?
Yes. I want to say it was about an 8 to 10 hour job, if I remember off the top of my head.
Conglomerate, and they do plug our sewer system.
Right.
That's correct. And we did, they have a bar that's lower. And
right.
And it did flood the bar area.
Okay.
And we had to have that cleaned. We did get it cleaned by a professional. And that bill was roughly... $1,800.
They didn't have a backflow preventer?
No, they did not have a check valve there.
Okay. Are they required to have one? It's a question I don't know the answer
yes.
to. Yes. Because I've known that that was an issue with the backflow from the December 2010 flood was a lot of the homes that got flooded did not have backflow preventers. Right.
Basically, like a check valve doesn't let it come back into the home.
And just so you know, it's one of the things that I think the sanitation district is going to take over with the fog program with
That's
John.
Correct. John's going to give us he's basically submitting some paperwork to give us the options to go with him. And I talked to John about that.
And I don't know, what have we spent for the fog inspections this year? And I don't expect anybody to know that off the top of their head, but it'd be interesting to know because I think perhaps John could do it less expensive and he's here, so he could probably do it more efficiently as well.
That's correct.
Because
when I called the Wallace Group, I couldn't get hold of anybody. It was on vacation when that happened. Because my biggest thing is to check their permit.
Well, that's the second time last year that a restaurant, assuming that it was the lodge, and I don't know that it was, but yeah, okay, but maybe that's not a fair assumption, but that's the second time outside of a restaurant we've had a backup this year. And so I know that we haven't brought it back up because it was during the summer, but I think it's something that needs to be revisited with what happened behind Efren's, and they were out of compliance.
Yes.
And we spent...
They were in violation.
Thousands of dollars, and Casey was out there for a whole Saturday
yes.
with the pump truck. And I think it's something that we should... We had talked about before, but that was with Mr. Keefe, and getting some cost recovery for their violations of the fog.
Mr. President, Rick Sweet, the new
yes.
general manager at the San Luis Sanitary District there, South San Luis. He and I are going to be meeting, talking about the fog program and other, how we can interact and interface together because we have the sewer lines and they have the treatment capacity and the like and see where we can help each other. And like this, the SAN district staff did help us. Mr. Clemens did do an absolutely wonderful job. I met with them out in the field. I met with our guys and the like, and it was a mess. It really, our staffs both should be congratulated on the effort that they did put in and how it resolved.
I can't seem to figure it out.
Your mic's off, Mary.
Just to let you know, the SAN district supported us in that event. I actually called out to on-call operator so we could, and that was probably at 11 o'clock at night. I had them out there for a few hours.
I did know that.
They were
appreciate
very supportive. And I called John and I told him thank you very much for the support. Right on time, helped us out when we needed to get rid of that waste.
I'm glad everybody's working together.
Yeah, they're more than willing to help out.
It's almost like a hazard plan, which we don't have in place, but they do. But it's good.
Let me ask you, since you're working on the Performa, how do you assess, and I don't expect you to be a long ways in this because there is a lot of tedious paperwork, but there really is a benefit to it all. So how do you assess priorities?
For a Performa?
So what trumps something else as a priority with dollars being limited?
I'm not doing a priority right now. Right now I'm just giving, for an example, a steel tank. The life expectancy on a steel tank, if it's maintained, is 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The exterior for our location, I want to say it's 8 to 10 years. Is where we're at. The interior is 20 years. Cathodic protection that helps the interior with the anodes and everything. That is a yearly maintenance on that. So the interior will last 20 years.
So within your departmental budget, do you take the things that are that you've just listed off, right, as priorities that need to be handled quicker than later?
It's not necessarily a priority. It's giving the information to my boss on the life expectancy of what we have.
Okay.
And then if it exceeds, say it needs to be replaced by a certain time, that in my opinion would be a priority if it has to deal with operations. Mm-hmm. You know, say you have a steel 2-inch main from the 50s, well, that's definitely a priority because it's already outlived its expectancy, its life mm-hmm. expectancy. It doesn't have the fire protection.
Right.
It doesn't have any of that. So that should be a priority in my book.
Okay.
But I'm basically just trying to get the information so I can get it out to everybody, what we have, life expectancy.
Right. Because that's how I would think too, you know, that those would be priorities. And then I look at the warrants and I see that, you know, we have somebody.
And that's what I've been doing. As I get it in place, I get it documented and I keep those records. And that's what we're attacking right now. And then for an example, New Year's Eve, we had a power failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've had multiple call-outs. Off the top of my head, I think there's been two the week prior to this. This week, I want to say there's been one. The week before that, I want to say there's probably two or three. The emergencies are happening. Yeah.
Okay, so just my last question, too, and just, you know, give me a guesstimate. I don't expect anything to be tied down. Is where would you say the generator is on the priority list?
The one of LA?
Yes.
That's the one you're referring to? That's a high priority item?
Great. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Tony, for coming and letting us pick your brain.
Thank you. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Lonnie, you want to share with us?
Yes, my intention, Mr. President, is to bring our and introduce any new employees, of course, as they come on board, but also to have the operations staff, Tony, come to the first meeting of the month, and then you can ask your question directly of him, other items that I haven't answered or you know, haven't been able to get to you, and that feel free to, at any time, you can contact him, of course, but I intend on him presenting a report at the first meeting of every month, okay?
Thank
separately.
It's the downside of being on salary, Tony.
We're working on that. I've got a couple of items that I've been working on, one that I've talked about a couple of times with Jennifer, Director Blackburn is where we're at and where we're going on our water use and drought and the like, and putting together all these pieces and where we're going with our master planning. So there's a lot of pieces in the mix here, just as you went through several items with Tony on the operations and what's the priorities and so on and so forth. Well, there's all these things that are going to be brought forward, hopefully at the next board meeting that has something a little bit more teeth to it. I'd also like to redirect a comment based on the agenda. I apologize for the oversight with the Water Authority's ADA number. Yes, that is from the San Diego County Water Authority, my previous employer. We had 37 board members there. I also worked in Orange County where we had 23 member agencies with 7 board members. I don't reinvent the wheel. I use things that I think have been functional and good, and I'm going to bring...
You did not in the past.
I do not believe we have anything for the hearing assisted folks that need that type of stuff for ADA compliance, but we can look into that. Also, the idea here is to have the minutes online so that a person can have their computer and bring it up on the internet, and they can have whatever device they use to listen to these things and enhance the volume. They could certainly do that on their own too.
And in the past, what we've done is in the Rolodex, there is an organization that provides ADA support.
There it goes. There you go.
That provides 48 hours. If you give a 48-hour notice, it is in the Rolodex. It's an organization that provides, you know, whether it's translation or American Sign Language or whatever, and they're in San Luis Obispo, and we have had them available for years.
Sure. Director Guerrero also, or Chairman Guerrero also alerted me to the fact of having Spanish translation of the minutes and at the meetings for those in the community that that is their first language and English is their second language, so as to enable us to be able to communicate with the folks that live in Oceano and be more community oriented, and be more than happy to move that forward and bring information like that so that you can see what we're doing here.
I think all we would need for this portion is if any member of the community wanted a Spanish language interpreter, we could probably just add this in Spanish, saying, you know,
sure.
Si se puede. Yes, we can do that.
Absolutely. So. We can do that and tell them what the time that we need, and that way we're up to speed and up to date with being able to provide that service to the community.
Just let us know and we'll bring something
sure.
in.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Cruz?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board of Directors and Outside Committees, Director Angelo?
I did not go to any meetings this last Christmas.
You took the holiday.
Pretty much.
We'll move to Director Blackburn. Jennifer?
Okay. I did go to the Zone 11A meeting on December 17th, where Public Works did provide information about the sandbar management plan and the flapgate alternatives plan. So I figured I'd just give you the bullet points of their recommendations for your information. For the flood mitigation to pre-storm breach the sandbar that is starting up AG Creek Lagoon, taking out a 200-foot wide wedge that would bring the sand to about plus 9.5 feet elevation for smaller storms and plus 8 feet elevation for larger storms. And that is an emergency type situation, they would do that. For the flapgate analysis, they said that we could increase the outlet capacity by increasing the number of culverts that there are, but the flapgates that are there are appropriate for the location. There are other ones that may have more environmental benefits, but the ones that are there are adequate. They also were saying that reducing the inflow to the lagoon by increasing upstream storage using Carpenter Creek as a bypass is another option. But they would recommend further hydrologic and hydraulic studies of Meadow Creek in order to move forward with that. So that was that meeting.
Yes.
Summary. And then we did the water and sewer meeting, but would you like to report on that? No. Okay. We did come up with agree on a mission statement and some goals, and the goals would be water and sewer budget input when the annual budget comes around, as well as working on the water and sewer master plans and keeping updated on the operations and maintenance issues that Tony was mentioning earlier. So that would be, unless you have more.
Considering that we had major distraction and Mr. Edwards and Julie Tacker demanded that we close the meeting and was quite disruptive and called me many, many cuss names, I think that we actually got quite a bit done.
All right. I attended, I have to look at the date, I brought the minutes, the Sanitation District meeting Wednesday, December 18th, and it was actually a very productive meeting. We had a lot of business items that happened. One of them was the ratification of the district manager's contract, that is Rick Sweet. As I advised the board before, he is the director down in Santa Maria here. You don't have to have been paying much attention to know that, you know, we've changed engineers, we've changed administrators. We got out of the litigation, you saw that we spent over $700,000 in costs. I was only there for part of it, but you know, once the train got out of the barn, the costs were very high. There was over $700,000 that were spent. There is a claim that's been made against the insurance company to try to recover those costs because they declined coverage on it. So I believe it's a covered event. But one of the things that happened, if you recall, if you looked at the grand jury reports, if you looked at the reserves, the sanitation district was losing anywhere from $800,000 to $1 million a year in losses. There was also a board change this year. We enjoyed the arrival of Mayor Peterson, which helped facilitate some of the other changes, and she has been a very positive force at the sanitation district, although this next year Glenn Marshall is taking over her spot at the district. So the budget, and I'll get some reviews for this fiscal year 2013-2014, was a balanced budget. And so instead of losing $800,000 to $1 million a year, it was a balanced budget. The plant is operating as it's supposed to. But the report that I got back about a month ago from Matt Haber is that some of our expenses that were anticipated were halfway through the year at 10%. So we're actually coming in under budget. Nice. With a more efficiently running plant. And so I think that's very good news. And there are still reserves. There's, I want to say, $3 to $4 million that are in reserves. But the pro forma that we did, if you remember, I brought a copy back. It shows that when you extrapolate it out, I think to 2017, 2019, we're $10 million behind.
Yeah.
Because of the deferred maintenance and these other, you know, and some of the things that I'm going to talk about in a minute. You'll see that even though we have reserves, they're going to be depleted. And one of the things that you guys may remember is that we had talked about rotating the meetings, and they were always here, and then we were going to send them to Grover Beach, and we were also going to do them at Arroyo Grande. They've been at Arroyo Grande the last 6 months. There was a consensus just to leave them at Arroyo, this December 27th letter that we got. So I'm not going to go into it other than to say it's consistent with this December 27th letter. I don't think there is a paradigm for how to deal with the overall flooding of Oceano. There's problems, and the county is, you know, our district and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District are kind of microcosms of what the county has done, and there was a lot of deferred maintenance, and that's why we see the lagoon and things that are backed up, and they said they found a red-legged frog, and so they couldn't do some clearing. So the best thing that they come up with, I think, is goats eating the growth in the canal and the Rio Grande Creek. So there's some spot sort of hodgepodge approach to dealing with the problem, and so it's consistent with this report. If you want to listen to it, it is recorded. It should be up on the website, and I was going to check today, forgot. The other thing that is happening is, well, there was a small COLA 2.9% increase for staff that gets them a competitive rate with what are going on at the other plants. But Kennedy Jenks engineering proposal was adopted. They're being hired to perform capital projects planning for redundancy. If you'll remember, the water board, especially after the spill, and this actually goes to 2005, when you look at the Kennedy Jenks reports, 2005, 2008, wants redundancy at the plant that does not exist. And so there's a cheeky line that caught my attention in the report that says, well, you know, if we had done this when they initially said it, we'd be done by now. But it hasn't been started yet. And Corollo did a report in 2010. So I think with having Rick Sweet, Shannon Sweeney, and new plant manager, you know, keep my fingers crossed that we're going to start seeing some of this redundancy. But it's expensive. It's expensive. And so I will point out, if you look at the, finally, I'll stop talking here in a second. If you look at the plant superintendent's report, you'll see that the numbers for the BODs and TSS have been going up over the last couple months. And the reason is because they've been doing maintenance. And so they'll have certain portions of the plant shut down. And even though they're doing this maintenance, they're still able to keep it within the permit levels. And so it just shows.
Okay. I did attend the Water and Sewer Committee. Director Blackburn had already spoke on that. I attended the Grover Beach City Council meeting as it relates to the EIR report and the Friends of the Oceano Dune, and, of course, the political current of the mayor being removed from the Air Quality Control Board for the county. So I found it to be very interesting. A lot of people have vested interests in the Grover Beach Lodge, and I think that Oceano, too, should have interest and like to see the project move forward. I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee earlier today. I met with a couple community groups in the last couple weeks about, you know, certain projects, certain concerns. One concern that was continually brought up was the quality of our AGP, basically. That has become a real problem in a real sore spot in people in the community. They feel like they're paying for the service and they can't hear us. And so I did get a lot of feedback off of that and a lot of good ideas too. A couple things that came up at the Water Resource Advisory Committee today was I think it's important that people know that the Coastal Commission will be in Pismo Beach from the 12th to the 14th, and they were to let us know where, but I'll call Courtney Cox if I can get a flyer or a memo or something on that. I will most definitely have it sent over and have it posted on the website. There was a little discussion about well trends. I think that people are finally realizing that there's no consistency in monitoring the wells and the problem that that's having. And so as they develop the North County and the oversight body, I think they're starting to take this a little bit more serious. And I know that the county Public Works Department is certainly trying to wrap their cubicles around it. There was actually on the Board of Supervisors on the 14th, if a lot of people have some budget modifications that will come in on that project, and they're going to talk about the offset programs. So I think that that should be important. Another thing that I thought that was relatively interesting is our County Board of Supervisors has legislative analysts in Sacramento and in D.C., and rightfully so, you know, to look after our interests. So on the 11th, the Sacramento group, which is a lobbying firm called Peterson, will be at the Board of Supervisors giving a legislative update as to where we are politically, basically. And it will be pretty fine-tuned to water. There definitely is a problem with the water as far as how much there is and how much the state is releasing. At this current time, you know, the county-wide, we're only getting 5% of our state allocation. Well, we paid at least 150%. So people are very concerned about how much water they're getting from the state and how much money they're putting into it. So I'll keep you posted. I definitely will be attending the legislative platform. I probably won't attend the I'll wait for the reports on the Los Osos area because it is a very big project for the county, and I think the people have the right to know where things are coming from. And so I'll keep you posted.
Which Board of Supervisors meeting was that? Did you get the date on
for
that?
What, the Los Osos project?
No, for the update. The legislative update.
The legislative update is 211.
Thank you.
Water issues. And I'm sure Courtney Cox would be happy to forward you over, or Carolyn Berg will be happy to forward you over if there's any more information and stuff. I've checked the website twice and I haven't seen anything on it, but, you know, they kind of hide things once in a while, so I pick up the old phone.
One of the things I know you and I have both been approached on is the having a pump out station for the RVs, and so I wonder if we should make that a agenda item at some point to
think of that in the future as it formulates versus discussions.
If Oceano wants to get involved, if the OCSD wants to...
I think that Oceano has to have the discussion. The other discussion is that we're not the typical tourist town, you know, and to have a dump station for that RV that's packing around that 40 pounds of sewer, 40 gallons of sewer. It'd be very nice to have a dump station down in this area. So I think there are areas that we can collaborate on. I've been reading in the paper and talking to people about the equestrian center, right? I'm a horse person at heart, you know. I came from, my family are ranchers, you know. I mean, we're all in 4-H, you know. So I think it would be great that if Oceano had an area, a staging area, and that we had tie downs throughout town. So if somebody wanted to get off their horse and tie down and run over to Sylvester's and get a burger, you know, that we're friendly and that we can, they can do that. Do I think that it would take a whole lot of effort from us? Not very much, because that's what we're set up for. We provide water, we sell water, and we get rid of your sewer. You know, and there's a lot we can build off those wraparound services. So I'd like to see discussions like that definitely move forward. Do I think that there would be obviously opposition to anything moving forward? Of course there will be, but we'll get through that.
Why don't I have you speak with Mr. Curtis, and you guys can figure out and we'll how to agendize it, and we'll get it agendized and decide. You know, of course, always keeping in mind our core function.
Yeah.
But,
water,
okay. Director White?
Thanks.
Yes, the first place I went was I joined Jennifer at the Zone 101A meeting, and then I received a complete copy of the sandbar management study. I can't put a price tag on it, but I spent a half a day reading it. And the most amazing thing about it is near the end where the conclusions are, it says, we need to study this some more, we need to study this some more, we need to study this some more. We can't make an assumption on this because it needs to be studying. What they're talking about studying, for one thing, is the ocean and wave action. Now, I don't think the South County's got enough money to provide studies with that, because you almost have to do it by the hour. And did you read that part?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I'm going, we're going to study the ocean? And I mean, there was a lot of really good information in that. Beavers have built, is it something that was topographically there to begin with? They don't know. Is it the actual tules? My family used to walk out on those tules. They'd break them down and they could walk across the whole lagoon area, the whole area there just on the tules, and never get wet. So anyway, I just thought the report is very, very interesting, and I think we're going to see some follow-up, but it doesn't really offer any solutions for the flooding of the area. Mm-hmm. Other than small things they can do if, and they made it very clear that if there is a big 100-year storm, all bets are off, it's all going to flood.
It seems to be consistent with the presentation that we had. It sounds like the same thing.
Yeah. The other, I, of course, took action at the fire meeting on the 17th. We approved going ahead with the benefit assessment district for the Five Cities Fire Authority. The ballots will go out to the property owners, oh boy, I hope, in early February. They have to be back in April, where they will be basically counted, and we have a company that's doing all that work. A company that does that for other districts. At this time, whomsoever gets a ballot to vote will also have on that ballot what it's going to cost them in property tax. And they say generally We're hoping to raise almost $1 million, and the taxable, that's for a year, for a regular single-family home, would be $66. Otherwise, two payments of $33 with the tax bills. And it's weighted so that if you own 10 houses, you get 10 votes. If you own one house, you get one vote. And an interesting thing I found is that churches will be taxed on this fire authority because churches have the same kind of risk that, I mean, they don't have to join, pay regular property tax, but they will have to pay these taxes because they have specific risk.
I think there's some other districts where if you contract where the fire service, the equipment's not included. So, like, if we were contracting, we would have to, and the fire department says, well, we need a new truck. We just got to go buy it for them.
Yeah, Cal Fire. Cal Fire, when the communities like Los Osos, that are contract with Cal Fire, they have to provide the stations, the maintenance of the stations, the equipment, reserve firefighters, and there's a lot of other costs involved
in that.
I
think they have to do the workers' comp, the payroll,
all
kinds of stuff too.
Yeah.
Same with Pismo Beach. They have to provide the station. So they're $2 million or whatever, they 1.9 or whatever they spend for the one station.
They have one station.
Right.
They have two stations.
Pismo?
Pismo does.
Two, the one at Shell Beach.
Whatever
the little one at Shell Beach.
Right, the little one at Shell Beach. It's part-time. It's part-time staff.
Well,
right,
it's still a station.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to provide, they have to give them their, they have to provide the fire trucks.
But they don't buy any trucks or nothing?
No. No.
Sheesh.
And you're also required to, you can be sent out of area and even out of county in certain circumstances.
What's the current fire department budget? Is it $2.9 million? For five cities?
Yes, right. I didn't bring it, but that's close.
Yeah. 2.5
and it's
2.9. 2.9
million?
Excuse me, 2.9
million.
Yeah, 2.9
million.
Anyway, so we did it. We will now see what the taxpayer or the property taxpayers want to do about additional fire protection.
Is there a plan B?
Can you speak into the mic?
No.
Is there a plan B in case it doesn't pass?
No.
Oh, okay. So they're just going to wing it and hope that...
Well, I mean, this is plan B.
Absorbs.
This is plan B.
This is plan B.
Okay.
Plan A was the unification. Plan B is to get that extra million, or not quite million. But look at...
All right,
thanks, Karen.
We'll move on to our next item, which is public comment on agenda items. Is there any public comment this evening on the agenda items? Mr. Edwards, good evening again.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to trail some remarks on relative to the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. I too have been following that quite closely. Taking sewage and giving them some of the OHV folks a little water, those are pennies. Is that the vision for Oceano? You'll be known as the entrance to Huckfest? Is that what revitalization is about in this community? I don't think so. Are you going to widen your sidewalks a little bit more so equestrians can trot on down the road? I don't think any of that's consistent with where you want to go. I frankly, you certainly need a discussion about it, but... I think that's diametrically opposed to where Oceano wants to go. Certainly you need to hear from the residents. Turn Pier Avenue into a greater dust bowl than it already is right now? I'm not seeing it, sorry. Certainly, if you look at the coastal permit for the OHV operation, Pier Avenue was considered a temporary access point. The whole idea was to move Pier Avenue's location somewhere else, to the south particularly. So as a board, I would have serious concerns about what's happening in Grover Beach. And I don't know about embracing that project because I don't think there's anything in it for Oceano. President Guerrero, you mentioned the notice that was issued by the Public Works Department. And the notice is consistent with the discussion that Paavo Ogren, Public Works Director, made at the Sand District meeting. And if you recall, what Mr. Ogren told the Sanitation District basically is, you guys are in a floodplain, you're going to flood. And I think his bottom line suggestion was, go buy a big pump. I think that's what he told you. And frankly, I think that's ludicrous. I think the county has shirked their responsibility. I mean, it's been 3 years now since the big flood and no rain, and so everybody's kind of forgotten, but it's going to happen again. They're using a substantial amount of HUD money to fund the Highway 1 and 13th Street project, and that's why this notice has gone out. But that Highway 1 and 13th Street project, which is, again, your agenda item 14A, the notice, I don't think there's anything in it for this district. I think you ought to oppose that as well. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I'm going to start at the bottom of the agenda and work my way backwards with regard to closed session and the property negotiations related to the community center building. You know, grants were used to build that building, and if any use is uproar and controversy, but seriously, to have to pay back maybe in excess of millions of dollars in grant money, it's read the grants, read the agreements. Any change in use would require reimbursement. There's a tort claim suggested on your closed session. I believe that the public should have the right to see what the claim is. Where is the letter? That's not provided as part of this. So how can I comment? And again, there's no staff report. Tonight you have a will serve appeal. There's no staff report. You are just getting a letter from December 12th. I think there's a delivery problem with the mail in your front office. It doesn't get to you. And I have a handout that I handed out at your sewer water committee, and I don't know if it got to you. So I'm bringing copies for all of you. And where you violated my ability to participate, you violated the Brown Act by not letting me speak to the minutes, because you took action on the minutes before I could provide my comments. And what I wanted to say, and now that they've been adopted, you can't do anything about them, is that their attachments are not there. The things that show up at the meeting are not in the minutes. The Calaware letter never showed up on the minutes. Mr. Curtis's request to go to Los Angeles didn't show up on the minutes. The attachments are not there. Mr. Minery gave a terrific presentation on the Brown Act. They're not part of your minutes, that PowerPoint presentation. So there's a disconnect in what is public record around here, and the fact is they should be part of the minutes so that you can refer to them. And actually, in the new agenda format, it talks about get yourself educated by going back through the materials. Well, if they're not there, how can anybody participate by looking backwards? It's not there. And your committees, I think you take minutes, but they never come before the board for adoption. I've never seen you follow through. I know Ms. Blackburn is doing written reports, and we don't get to see those either.
All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It's 7:56 p.m. And we're on to item number 13, excuse me, we're on to item 11. We haven't done the committee assignments yet, but I was gonna reopen public comment for item number 13. We just passed out the notice of claim against the Oceana Community Services District. Is there any public comment on this at this time?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to the claim. This is the first I've seen it. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It was received December 9th. And I think I'm just going to read it. Dear President Guerrero, pursuant to California Government Code Section 910.2, I, Carol Ann Pardo, I'll leave her address out, do hereby make the following claim against the Oceano Community Services District. On August 5th, 2013, I was wrongfully terminated and illegally terminated from my position as account clerk by Interim General Manager Gary Keefe. As a result of this wrongful and illegal termination, I have lost wages and benefits in excess of $25,000. Please feel free to contact me at the above address or telephone number if you need additional information regarding this claim. I, the undersigned, declare under penalty of perjury that I have read the foregoing claim for damages and know the contents thereof, and the same is true of my own knowledge and belief, save and expect as those matters wherein stated on information and belief, as to them I believe they are true, dated the 5th day of December 2013. I think the citizens of Oceano, you know, while none of the citizenry knows the details, and we shouldn't, I do know that the community misses Ms. Pardo. I think they enjoyed her. I think the district enjoyed her ability to reach out to the customers and bring in.
When were you appointed, Jennifer? Was it June?
July.
So I think we just did them in July. So they're actually fairly fresh committee assignments. I'm happy where I'm at. I hope everybody is happy where they're at, but if they're not, this is the time to talk about it.
I'm happy where I am.
I enjoy RAC.
Mary says she enjoys the RAC.
I'm happy. I'm happy.
Never seen it. I don't know.
Oh.
We don't get those cable stations, so. I'll tell you the story why later.
Yeah, I'll tell you one too, so.
My wife, well, short story, my wife doesn't like me flipping channels, so we just got rid of all the stations.
So.
We don't have a remote control either. You got to get up and push the button.
Well, you know, you train your kids for that.
They're getting there.
I remember when I used to have...
Yeah, I got two remotes, a 6 and an 8-year-old.
The antenna on the back of the TV for my dad.
Well. Anyway, I digress. So if I've actually... would like to leave things as they are, but I think everybody's doing a good and a conscientious job where they're at, and so if there's unless somebody has an objection. Jennifer, you're the new kid on the block, so.
I was just curious, Director Angelo, if you minded if, well, I am interested in, I suppose, Director Mary, you are the alternate, but I'm interested in being a part of the special districts meeting.
The meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys minded if I
Well, I never
was,
did any notice which week they're going to do it in.
No.
And normally when you go there, they feed you lunch and it's a BS session and you leave.
I like
that. That's it.
Yeah.
I think you'll fit right in, Jennifer. I'm just kidding.
Right ahead.
I was just curious. Okay.
So we're going to put Jennifer as a primary for special district?
If yeah, Director okay. Lucy doesn't mind, because she is alternate. Okay.
Well, you can both go.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good time.
Okay.
Okay.
Matt, will you repeat that, please?
Yes. Ms. Blackburn is going to take over as a primary for the California local special district, with Ms. Lucy being the alternate, remaining as the alternate.
Okay, so she's taking Lori's place.
You know, we also do not have an alternate for the airport land use, Jennifer. I don't know if you're interested in that.
You know what? I go online to see if there's anything on the agenda.
It never is.
There's never anything about Oceana. The only time there's something about Oceana is when they want money.
Which you're not getting.
We looked at that at our last meeting, and at that time it was decided to do it the last Tuesday or Thursday of the month. And I think that's a consistent schedule that I've looked at. For the balance of the year, actually, that wouldn't conflict with other meetings externally. I'll bring this full calendar for adoption at our next board meeting, because we did go through that at the Water and Sewer, and I think it was Tuesday or Thursday, as I recall, Director Blackburn.
I believe it was Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So I did take that note back at my office, and I did go through that with the calendar for the rest of the year with all the other different meetings that are going on around us, and I found that to be a very good day to have committee meetings on. In lieu of having a second board meeting every month, I think we could have a committee meeting day that would be that wouldn't be special committees. It would be committees of the board on that day. And that way there'd be one formal board meeting and one formal committee meeting day. And that way the work that could happen at the end of the month through the committees would then be brought back anywhere from 8 to 14 days later to the full board with a committee recommendation as to where we're at, be it finance, personnel, water and sewer, and the like.
I think this has a fiscal impact, and I'm going to ask Jocelyn.
I just wanted to add a comment about if the committee meetings are all held on one day, our bylaws state that directors can only be paid $100 for a day, no matter how many committee meetings. So if they're in committee meetings all day, I just want everyone to know that it's still $100 total compensation for the day.
So they can attend up to two subcommittees and one general. Not or a general.
Mm-hmm. No, $100 for the entire day. So if you went to a special meeting that evening and then you went to a water and sewer committee meeting that morning, it's still only $100 for that day.
Correct. But if you went to water and sewer and then you went to finance, that would be $100.
That's correct.
So you could attend up to two subcommittee meetings.
Well, I think the way that would be most beneficial would be that any board member could attend any committee meeting, but there's only the voting members are those that are assigned today.
Right.
Those are the voting members. It wouldn't be a quorum with that.
You can't participate.
And then you cannot direct it, but you can provide nominal input. But
the reason you need to know, too, is that we were hoping to have enough work done in the Water and Sewer Committee, so by mid-year, we would hopefully only have to meet every other month. Hopefully.
Sure.
You know, but that would be a cost savings. Yeah.
Any committee meeting could be continued, absolutely.
No, but that's kind of one of our main goals, is to get enough work done in that direction.
Sure, we can do that. It's not a problem at all.
Well, we'll revisit that later. That's not agendized, but I think it's a relevant discussion if we want to change the way that we run it and whether and just have one board meeting and then do committee meetings and report.
I'll bring that back at our second meeting this month, if that be
and that makes
directed.
And you and I had talked about it before, and that ties hand in hand with sort of the changing the paradigm on how we run committee meetings.
Yes.
And so that they can be more productive and less confrontational,
sure.
Maybe as they have in the past, and so we can bring that back with that. So,
can I ask one question?
Sure.
Did you
have
your hand up? No. I got these new glasses, so I see all kinds of stuff.
I was trying to see my eyeballs and my glasses.
I can tell what color people's hair is now.
It's still gray.
Mine's going white real fast. Can you attend an outside committee meeting and a district meeting, say a general meeting, like today? We had RAC and the board today.
No, its compensation is $100 total.
You can attend as many meetings as you want,
right.
But you can only seek compensation for up to $100 a day.
Right.
That's what I think Jocelyn's point is.
I was asking her clearly if it's an
and
outside
I actually just read them.
So if Sand and District just happen to fall on one day, mm-hmm. You can only bill for one.
Well, Sand District.
No, you cannot. Well, it's coming from
it's coming
Sand.
From Sand District.
And it's coming from a different source. So.
Yeah.
Yep. So then you could do two and Sand Third.
Right.
It's like I barely get my bills in anyway.
I sent one in today from November.
Hey, I just submitted September.
She beat you.
Lori doesn't submit at all, so.
And if it wasn't for Jocelyn helping me, it wouldn't happen.
All right.
A time limit on that? Which one are we on?
Item 11B, the appeal of the will serve.
Yeah.
Did we even get the address of this?
Yes, we did get the address.
I have no information on this.
McCall. Where is McCall? I know it, but then I don't know.
Who?
McCall.
No, that's the name.
That's the guy's name.
What street is this on? What's the address of the property? We should check for complex.
It's supposed to be.
It's Oceano, it isn't too. It has an APR. Josh,
I was like, McCall?
Should we take this up at the back end of the agenda maybe and figure out where
the
property is?
Address.
It's not
no,
on this
we
line.
Have the assessor parcel number, a single family resident. I can talk specifically on the will serve aspect.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that if we live within 500 feet of it, we have a.
We gotta go.
Yeah, we have to recuse ourselves. Okay. So that's why we're
building 2 houses on a lot down the street from here.
Okay. I'll get the actual.
I'm not worried.
I will get the property address. Yeah. I do have.
Neighbors
are problems. I do have an assessor's parcel map that I haven't put up. Okay.
More? We'll just.
Sure.
No, I just. Pass them down.
Wait for a minute then. She gets back with that. I'll note that on item number 14, we've already discussed it, but I'll skip to there for a second. This is received written communications. This is the letter from Public Works. It was attached to the agenda. It does discuss, sounds like the same presentation you had at the Zone 1 MIA and we had at the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District. It is correct. They said you live in a flood zone. So.
Is this different one, the one we had in the minutes?
No, I think it's the same one. The letter dated December 27th. Received written communication.
It's in the minute package.
Yeah, it was in our.
I don't think it was in the minutes. I think it was separate.
No, I think it was in our agenda packet.
Yeah.
It was in the agenda packet.
Yeah. Yeah. But not in the minutes, Karen.
It's a letter from Pavo.
It was somewhere.
Oh, yes. Department of Public Works?
Yeah, that's the
last
one.
Last item in the agenda packet.
I got it. I'm laying right here.
I'm just bringing that up to keep it moving. We did receive that item. I don't know that there's any response due back from the district. Does anybody have any suggestions whether or not we need to respond back?
Well,
if we have any written comments that we want to.
Some of the flooding issues that we've had that.
I certainly.
Is this not just a reclarification of the presentation that they gave several months
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
It is, and it's talking about the 13th and Paso Robles and Highway 1 intersection right down
yeah.
here.
Right.
That this is where they're putting all their money into.
Well.
So what's the issue?
Well, they're accepting comments.
I thought the Board of Supervisors already approved it.
They did.
They did.
I think they just have to do this notice, send it out.
Because they're getting federal money. That's
yeah.
why.
Because, you know, I really have to applaud the county on dealing with so many different entities. You have the railroad, you have Caltrans in on this, you have Public Works in on this, you know. I think it can only make things better.
Anything
although I drive through the mud puddle all the time when it rains.
If it rains.
Yeah.
Well, I applaud anything that'll at least get the fire trucks through. Because there's been a couple times when they couldn't even get the fire trucks through.
And this will be a
that
good
becomes scary for the
right.
lower part of our town.
But also, too, is that if they fix that flooding right there, so when people do come to town to go out on the dunes, they'll have safer access. Because 13th will have been done and the highway. So all those big rigs coming through town, I do think it'll make it safer for all involved. I'll miss my mud puddle, but.
So I'm hearing that I don't think that the OCSD is going to send back any correspondence.
We're not.
No. I don't think
okay.
there's any need.
Future agenda items, you know, there's a couple of things I was thinking. One of the discussions that we're. I don't think we ever really rolled the marble around the can, but it was water banking and selling water. I think as we, I mean, Even my kids know we're in a drought. We're going to see a Roy Grandy and Grover Beach, I think, in trouble. And I think we need to position ourselves to try to make generate some revenue by selling water to those entities.
Yeah, I did have a
I know that Steve Adams and Bob Perrault are interested in buying, but they want permanent sales. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps we can bring that up. And we obviously have our referendum that came through, our voter initiative that we need to bring back up in closed session again. Those are just future agenda items, rethinking the committees on how we do the
Redirection?
Yeah, community redirection and how we exercise those. And it'll be things like, you know, running them from the dais, taking public comment in the normal manner.
I think we have more. Okay.
So
are you giving future agenda items right now, or?
Yes. I was just adding a couple future agenda items while we waited for Jocelyn.
Okay, so what are those items again?
One was to start discussing water banking and selling water.
Uh-huh.
The third one was to go into closed session with Mr. Minery regarding the voter initiative on the permanent sale of water.
Okay.
And then the fourth one, which we already talked about, was for the next.
What was the third one?
The voter initiative.
Or
selling water banking, voter initiative. And then rethinking our redirecting the committees. My math off.
Well, I just see two of those are the same thing. Mm-hmm. Voter initiative.
And selling water.
And selling water.
True.
Is a.
Well, the
conundrum.
Well,
the same.
It can be. There may be some overlap. Because there are temporary sales of water like we've had before, the 5-year contracts.
Mike? Right.
And then there's whether or not there's a permanent sale, whether or not there's a permanent sale or a long-term lease or something. What are our options given the initiative? And those are some of the things we can discuss.
And we have had that analyzed. So if we've agendized that, I'd like to see legal counsel's past minutes, past notes, because we did hire Ms. Thurman to do that work, and we did pay her for that work.
So we can get that. We can take it into closed session and decide what, if anything, to do.
And I will coordinate with Ms. Thurman to make sure I get up to speed on all the past work that has been done on that.
Great.
Right. Because I know we were invoiced on it, but I never, ever saw a report on it. Thank you.
All right. So
we've already got into future agenda several items on here.
Yeah. We're going to start rocking and rolling.
But we never get to them all.
Well, we have to go back and you have to deal with the items that were tabled. We have to clean those up.
Yes, and the tabled items. So I'll ask staff to go back and review the minutes and find the tabled items, because we do have a time period to bring those back. And so items that were tabled need to be brought back.
Streets off of 15th. Street address would be on 15th, midway between Warner and Rice.
Okay, I'm fine then. I don't know if any of you have conflicts.
What is it again? I'm 15th sorry.
15th Street between Rice and Warner.
Oh, I'm fine.
I think you're okay. Karen's okay. I don't know where you live, Jennifer, so.
I'm okay.
She's okay. Okay, so we can proceed.
So we can talk about it.
So we received the Belcher and Becker letter. I don't have any information from the district. This letter doesn't give me a lot of information to work with, so if you let me know what's going on.
I've been discussing this with General Counsel Minery, and the issue here was, more simply put, is that the applicant came in and it's considered a new service. Therefore, we went to our existing rate schedule, and the current rate schedule shows, as your board item should show, a total of water fees, estimated water fees at $10,787.76. Then you add sewer charges and the like, and the estimated total for water and sewer, which we happen to be both, the total is $11,312.76. Previously, this applicant claims that he came into the office and he was told it was going to cost approximately $1,900. That's $1,900. He's now since come in, and I've went through this with him, that the current our current rate schedule shows that, in fact, it is the $11,000 fee that is due. He doesn't see this property as new construction, which I do. It's required by the fire authority to have fire sprinklers. He's got to conform to the current building codes, current electric, uniform electric code, uniform plumbing code, uniform fire code, and he has to conform to our current fee schedule. The fact that he was told 1900 and now it's 11,000 plus change, I know that's distressing to any contractor that comes in and deals with this. It's nothing new to have to pay development fees when you change items. This is a small residence. He's making a 1,150 square foot home into a 1,200 square foot residence, but he's changing the whole paradigm of the property and what its use was previously and conformed to at the time. So he was told it's effectively $11,500 or $400.
I do, before you chip in.
Sure.
So do we know on what basis or who told him it was going to be $1,900? Does he have anything in writing? I mean, is there anything to base that on?
No, there's nothing in writing, and I don't know who quoted him that price of $1,900 and then to come back in at $11,000.
Or when that was? I mean, was that 5 years ago or was that?
No, allegedly it was 4 months previous to this request that he came in, and then we filled out the current will serve information, provided him copy of the board action, and this isn't right. And so I said, well, you have to take that up with the board if you want the board to exercise any judgment on changing our fee schedule, because the board sets the fee schedule.
All right. I'm Jeff.
Thank you, Matt. I will tell you that this matter has been continued two times already because of the fact that we are waiting for Mr. McCall's attorney or Mr. McCall to come forward with some evidence or some facts that disputed the determination by Lonnie Curtis. It appeared to me that they were going to come forward with something. Apparently they did come forward with this letter, but it's not supported by any documents that support their position. It's just a position statement by itself. I will say I'm surprised that they weren't here, because I did hear from Mr. Belcher in the past that they intended to appeal this with the board. I want the board to at least be aware that I'm not confident that they, because of the continuances of this, that it is possible that they weren't aware that this was on the agenda. I don't know one way or another, but I want the board to be aware of that.
Have you done any analysis, Jeff, as to whether or not it's a whole new service, or what the charges should be?
You know, I don't have enough facts to make an analysis on it, because I can look at what the attorney is telling me, but I can't tell from his letter whether or not this constitutes new construction or not. And I think that is something that the applicant would need to come forward with, and then maybe at that point the district may have a change of position. But I just don't know enough. I have no factual information.
That's exactly the way I'm feeling.
The foundation by 50 feet, right? Is that it?
I don't know if it's the current foundation or he's setting a new foundation, but the total square footage goes up from 1,150 to 1,200.
Okay, so we're allowed to change our footprint up to 200 square feet without legally being able to do that without moving into another category when it comes to the planning. Also, too, is that it's the front footage. Is he changing the driveway to the side or to the alley access? Or, you know, those are things that I don't know. If he's changing the alley access, then that's another service, because we're moving it. You know, because it's usually the front footage.
The whole idea on the will serve has to do with the district's capacity to serve this property. He is changing the capacity. He is putting in residential fire sprinkler system that's required today that wasn't required when that was built. So on a moment's notice, we must provide, if we're saying we will serve them that capacity. So we have to have the capacity, and this is enabling the water district, any water district, to recoup the cost to have that capacity to serve. They have to upgrade their fixtures and throughout the building with current uniform plumbing code required fixtures. So it's not a small
task. So it's not here. A remodel job.
No.
Is he passing it as a remodel job,
no.
basically?
No. It's been demolished, it says on the
Yeah, the letter says...
the house completely.
Oh, well, you know, that's... You should have
secured a building permit to replace an outdated single-family residence. He's not creating a new residential use, but it sounds like he's creating a new residential house.
Well, it says the new house is roughly the same size as the demolished house.
Yeah.
Now, I've had this question come up. I actually questioned this before, too, on a piece of property that I was looking at. And what I found is that because the lines were not one-inch meter lines, that you would have to update those items, and it would be the cost to update those. And you may get a small credit of some sort for the... 3/4 to the 1-inch thing. So, I understood that, because I come in and talk to Marie at one point and was talking.
Director Angelo, if I may interrupt you for a minute, I think that type of information it should be readily available to the applicant. Lonnie Curtis has made a determination on this, and this is an appeal from that determination. So I think that the burden would be on the applicant to come forward with some of this very basic information to explain why this does not qualify as new construction and why he should be granted the old fee. So at this point, it may be prudent for the board to simply give the applicant one more opportunity to do that. And
I think when the notice to him advising him of the hearing should include this information that we've just gone through.
So I'm just curious as to who in the office would have quoted him $1,900.
Certainly, and I have talked to staff about that they are only to provide our current rate schedule in the future. Nothing by mouth. It's got to be a written policy, written statement, adopted rates and schedules by this board. Mm-hmm. On a going forward basis, what was done in the past, I have no comment on.
You know what else can easily happen, because I've done some things like at the county going to find out information about what could be done with the properties and stuff. And you go in with the basic thought of, this is what I want to do, but you don't give them the information that's actually what they're doing or going to do. It's kind of, well, what if I do this or what if I do this? And then that's where you get the discrepancies of cost. And so that could have been a situation here where the explanation as to what they were doing was not completely the whole explanation.
Correct.
And I think that's probably what happened. That
sure.
would be my best guess sure. at it.
I have a question, Mr. Curtis. Can you tell me, was there a fee schedule change in the time that he claims he came to today? Or since we've been talking back and forth with him?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because I don't remember it coming before the board at all, so I was just wondering.
Well, gosh, about 3 or 4 years ago, there is a graduated fee schedule on some of these frontage mm-hmm. fees and stuff, and we adopted in 2010 it was this much, okay. In 2011 yeah. it was this much, and that was when Raphael was still general manager, Raphael Montanaro. So it does increase every year, and that is pursuant to adopted
sure.
resolution.
One of the issues, I think, with the greater public at large are these legacy deals, if you were, or legacy schedules. It used to be this, and today it's that, and they want to
revenue sure. with those concerns. And if you'll send him correspondence by Friday so that he knows to be here.
I'll send him. It'll be out this week.
That'd be great. And then also it references our October 29th letter, and that was not included in the packet, so if we could have that. So we
there are two letters.
Yes. As well as a copy of the will serves, please.
Yes. Thank you. So we'll move on. Utility items, none. Item number 13, closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection B, subsection 3, subsection C, conference of legal counsel regarding receipt of claim pursuant to the Tort Claims Act. number of potential cases one. We do have the claim, which will be attached to the minutes and redacted for the personal information that is included. Item number B, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representatives, General Manager Lonnie Curtis and Vice President Lucy, employee organization, Service Employees International Union 620. Item number C, pursuant to Government Section 54956.8, conference with real property negotiators. There are two items. Property one, Old Fire Station at 1687 Front Street, corner of 13th and Highway 1. Item two, Oceano Community Center, located at the corner of 19th Street and Wilmore Avenue. Agency negotiators, General Manager Lonnie Curtis, District Council. Negotiating parties, Friends of Five Cities Fire Authority and Lucia Marr School District, respectively. Under negotiation, price and terms of payments. It is 8:33 p.m. and we will adjourn to closed session at this time.
Is this on future agendas? Or
yes.
We have a policy on this already.
We do have this. We did receive a late-received communication from the Oceana Community Farmers Market.
I was just going to ask you about that. We put that on the next month.
I think they should go on because if we want to consider it, this needs to be, we'll attach this.
But we do have a policy on the parking lot use already.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have staff include that in the report then. Any staff report, we'll bring it up.
I don't know if it got written up or not.
What's
it was when all the apartment buildings wanted to park back there.
Yeah.
So we established a policy.
Okay.
I'll provide information sure. At the next board meeting.
Sure, that could be put in the staff report with that. Thank you very much. Okay, it's 8:34 p.m. We'll adjourn to closed session at this time.